Wonder if we could turn to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. Matthew chapter 25, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the messages and song that we've had tonight and the message in the little hymn that was read. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst even bless as we come to the end of our meeting tonight. We think of this midnight call, this midnight cry. And our God, we pray that there may be those who will hear the midnight cry tonight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. So our God, we just ask thee that thou wouldst come and meet with us just at the end of our meeting. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. When it comes to a watch night service like this, there is a big emphasis on the midnight hour. That hour, that moment when the year changes from one year to the other. And soon we'll be going out of 2017 and entering into 2018. And I want to think about a midnight hour that we have here in the Scriptures. It says in verse 6, that at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And you know this parable here is a well-known story. We're told about 10 virgins who were at a wedding feast. They're obviously like the bridesmaids at the wedding feast. And we find that they had lamps that they would have greeted the bridegroom when he came. In an Eastern wedding, it was the bridegroom that came, and it was announced that he would come, but nobody knew the day or the hour when he would come. The bridegroom would often hold off coming to the last possible minute. And these bridesmaids here, they're waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. And they have torches, and we read that 5 of them are wise, and they have made provision for oil for their torches, and 5 are foolish because they have made no provision. So then the cry goes up, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. We find that 5 are able to go, and 5 are left behind. Now I want you to think about this cry here, this midnight cry, because it is a cry that alerts the virgins to the approach of the bridegroom. And we think of how this is the last possible minute. When the cry goes up, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, that is the last warning for these bridesmaids to get ready for the coming of the bridegroom. If they haven't oil in their lamps now, there is no more time for them to make provision. And it reminds us here that the kingdom of heaven is one in which there must be a time when opportunity is gone. There must be a time when opportunity of getting right and getting into the kingdom has passed away. And we see that here. And there is a midnight hour. There is a time when that opportunity passes away. At the midnight hour, when the cry came, that was the last opportunity for the foolish virgins. And dear friend, I want to think about that time of last opportunity tonight. The parable here is a little masterpiece because each detail gives us crucial information. And I want us to focus tonight upon what we're told about these virgins at the midnight hour. And there are a number of things that I want you to see about them very simply in our meeting tonight. And the first thing that I want you to see is the comparison of the virgins. You see, the thing about these virgins is the five foolish and the five wise is that when we are looking at them before the midnight hour, there's not much difference in them. They are very much the same. And you look at what it says in verse 1 of the chapter. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." And we have implied that almost certainly these are 10 young women, friends of the bride. And it was the custom in those days for the friends of the bride to assemble, and that they were at the home of the bride waiting for the bridegroom. They're in the father's house and they're waiting with the meal. But I want you to see that there's much similarity between these bridegroom or bridesmaids here, these virgins. And I want you to see that they were given the same invitation. Each one of them had been given the honour of being given an invitation to this great wedding feast. And I'm glad tonight that there's an invitation that goes out to men and to women. It is an invitation to come to Christ. It is an invitation to come to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. We read of a wonderful invitation at the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Men, women, God invites you to come and take of the water of life. You have received an invitation. You have the honour of the virgins here of receiving an invitation to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. But I want you to see something about these virgins. Every one of them said yes to the invitation. At some degree and some level, every one of them, the wise and the foolish virgins, every one of them had said yes to the invitation. So we're not dealing here, when we think about the foolish virgins, of the multitude of people out there. Because the multitude of people out there, when they receive an invitation to come to Christ, say no. They will reject the invitation. They will spurn the invitation. And indeed, in many cases, they will not listen to the invitation. So these people here are people who have heard the invitation, and in some degree or some level, they have said yes to the invitation. And we think of how God has given us a wonderful invitation to come to Him. And the Bible speaks about the wonder of that invitation that we are given. And we think about that invitation tonight. And men, women, it is an honour. It is an honour. But there are those who are like the foolish virgins, and in some degree and measure they have said yes to the invitation. But they're not right with God. There's no oil in their vessels. And there are those that come and profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is no reality in their hearts. Nothing really there. And I wonder tonight, maybe there's been a time when you have responded to an invitation. Maybe it was an invitation in a children's meeting or in a Sunday school class. And you responded to that invitation. And the thing that you're relying upon tonight is the fact that you've responded to an invitation. Well, the foolish virgins responded to the invitation, but there was no reality in their hearts. There was no oil in their vessels. And we need to be careful tonight. We need to go round and make sure that not only have we responded to the invitation, but that there's oil in the vessel, that there's reality in the heart. So these virgins, they were all similar in their invitation. They were also all similar in their aspiration. They wanted to meet the bridegroom. They wanted to come into contact with the bridegroom. They wanted to be in the feast with the bridegroom. And if I was to talk to you tonight in this meeting, you would say, yes, I want to be in heaven. I want to meet with God. I want to meet with Him face to face. And I want to be with Him throughout the countless ages of eternity. And maybe in some degree and measure, there's an aspiration in your heart to meet with Christ. Oh, you have maybe done nothing really about it. Maybe you've responded to an invitation sometime. But dear friend, there has been nothing really done. But there is something in your heart that gives you a love for the scriptures and for the preaching of the word of God. And at some level, there is an aspiration to meet Christ. Something else, not only were they similar in their invitation and similar in their aspiration, but they were similar in their anticipation. They all believed that the bridegroom was coming. They all hoped to be present at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They all believed that they would be there. Otherwise, we read about them falling asleep. And it seems as if all of the virgins were quite complacent about the fact that when the bridegroom would come, they would all enter in. What an awful thing to be complacent about salvation and have an anticipation that we will be in the kingdom of God and find out at the end of the day that the Lord would say to us, I never knew you. Something else, they were similar in their position. They all went forth to meet the bridegroom in the same place. They all went together. Something else, they were similar in their exhaustion. Because you'll read that not only did the foolish virgins fall asleep here, but the wise virgins fell asleep. Here they were waiting for the bridegroom. Here they were looking for the bridegroom. And they slept on the job. And you see, this is why this is so hard and so difficult to discern what is true and what is false. Because there was a fault with the wise virgins as well as with the foolish virgins. They all slumbered and slept. And you know there are many of God's people in slumber and sleep waiting for the bridegroom. Look at what it says in verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. There were slumbering wise virgins as well as slumbering foolish virgins. Oh, there is such a thing as true backsliding. And maybe today it has to be said of God's people, we're slumbering and sleeping. The bridegroom's coming. The bridegroom's on his way. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And yet the church today is slumbering and sleeping. And you see, it's so hard for the preacher or for the elders to tell. We have something called the judgment of charity. We go by what you say. But you know, it's only God, and at some degree and measure yourself, that can really tell whether you're a wise virgin or a foolish virgin. Whether there is reality in your salvation or whether there is not. We see something here of the comparison of the virgins. But then I want you to see something else. Look at the call to the virgins. Look at verse 6. It says that at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now here we have this midnight cry. Here is the midnight hour. And we think of this midnight hour striking. This is the very last minute of the day. This is the very last opportunity for these foolish virgins to get ready. And the cry comes, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. I want you to think about this midnight cry. You see, the midnight is a dark hour. The time of midnight is always a dark hour. And we know that the Bible tells us that before the Lord comes again, it will be a dark hour. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." We are told in 2 Peter 3 and 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts." Have we scoffers today? There's always been scoffers. Have we more of them than usual? Have they got more prominence than usual? I think they have. We read in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils." Have we those that are departing from the faith? Oh, it's a dark hour. And dear friend, we read here that the cry goes out at midnight, the last possible, and it was an unexpected coming. The bridegroom, they had to wait there. They didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. He was coming unexpectedly. And we know that the Bible says that we know not the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But we do know it'll be a dark hour. It'll be a dark day. It'll be a day when the Word of God is despised. Will there be scoffers? When many will turn away from the faith. And it is a dark hour. Not only is it a dark hour, it's a dangerous hour. Because it's the last moment. Time is about to run out for these foolish virgins. There is a deadline here. You know, we think of the deadline when the tax affairs have to be filed. And if you wait till the last minute and go over the time, you'll get a fine. And dear friend, here were these virgins waiting to the last possible minute. Waiting to the last possible time. And God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." What a foolish thing it was that these virgins were doing. They were waiting to the last possible minute. Don't do the same thing, dear friend. Something else was a demanding hour. You hear the cry, "Go out to meet him." The cry is, "Go ye out to meet him." And that's the cry that goes out tonight. Go out to meet him. Go out to meet him. Meet the Savior. Meet the Redeemer. Meet the one who's able to save you to the uttermost. Go out and meet him. There's something else I want you to see about these virgins. Not only over the comparison of the virgins and the call to the virgins, but I want you to see the contrast of the virgins. Because when this midnight cry comes, there is a big difference. And the big difference is because one set of virgins were prepared and the others were unprepared. We read that some had prepared oil for their lamps and some had not. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, "And five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." And then look at what happens when the cry comes. It says that the cry comes, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And then it says, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." Now during the night, it would have been repeatedly announced the fact that the bridegroom cometh. But this is the last announcement, the midnight cry. Now you'd expect that these virgins would have prepared, but they're not prepared. And I want you to see the importance of being ready. Because when the bridegroom comes, dear friend, you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. Are you prepared? You know, the Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God." And dear friend, the difference is, are you right with God? Are you prepared? The Prince of Wales one time went on a visit to the Midlands many years ago, and he dropped into a working man's home. And the next day the man told his friends, "I never expected him, nor did my wife. He says the house was untidy and I hadn't washed, we shall never forgive ourselves. If we had known he was coming, we would have made ready for him. Well, dear friend, you can't say that you don't know that the bridegroom's coming after tonight. He's coming. And dear friend, don't be caught out. John Wesley was once asked what he would do if he knew the Lord was returning tomorrow. And he said, I do what I do every day. I would get out of bed and I would work in the preaching of the gospel, and I would do what God has appointed for me to do. You see, he lived his life as if Christ was coming tomorrow. He said, I would just do what I do every day. Are you prepared? Are you ready? We see the importance of being ready. But something else, the impossibility of borrowing. You see, when these virgins discovered that they weren't ready, what did they do? They went to the wise virgins and said, lend us some oil. Lend us some oil. Now, you would have thought in the midst of a wedding and in the midst of all of the goodwill of a wedding that the wise virgins would have given them some, but they didn't. You see, this is teaching something. There is something unusual about this, and the Lord is teaching us something. You can't borrow grace. You can't borrow grace. You can't borrow readiness. Because your mum or dad is ready, because your grandfather, grandmother was ready, doesn't make you ready. You can't borrow their readiness. You've got to get ready. You've got to get right with God. So tonight, are you ready? When the midnight cry comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Are you ready to meet him? But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the consequences for the virgins. Look at verses 10 to 12. It says, the virgins, the foolish virgins, go out to buy oil. And it says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him into the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. So the foolish virgins didn't get into the marriage feast. They were not able to meet the bridegroom. They were not able to partake in the festivity and the joy of the place. They were shut out. And notice what happens here. The foolish virgins seem to have been able to buy oil for their lamps. They come to the door and they cry, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But I want you to see the reply of the bridegroom. The words are, I know you not. You think of the words that we read about that the Lord will use at the judgment seat, I never knew you. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't recognize you. It's far more than that. It means I don't acknowledge you as part of my people. It means that you're not mine. That's what he means. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord, or Paul tells us, the Lord knoweth them that are hence. In Genesis 18:19, we're told that the Lord knew Abraham. In Exodus 33, verses 12 and 17, we're told that the Lord knew Moses. In Nahum 1 verse 7, we're told that the Lord knows them who fear him. In the Gospel of John chapter 10, we read of the good shepherd that he knows his sheep and they know him. Does he know you? Does he know you? When the cry goes up, these foolish virgins realize that they're not going to get in. And they cry, Lord, Lord, open to us. But the word comes back, I don't know you. I don't know you. And at the midnight hour, it's too late. Does the Lord know you? Are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you come and trust him. You see, you could be a foolish virgin. I read a story about a man who was an elder in one of the conservative Presbyterian denominations in America. And he did a very unusual thing in a presbytery meeting. He used to go with a bundle of tracts, and he used to give out tracts to the elders. And he did that because he wasn't going to take it for granted that anybody was saved by the grace of God. Now, we can be sure. We can have assurance of faith. But we never take it for granted. I remember a man who was a Free Presbyterian minister. And now he has testified that all the time that he was a Free Presbyterian minister, he wasn't saved. So we don't take it for granted for anybody. And you don't take it for granted for you either. Are you a wise virgin or a foolish virgin? Because the midnight cry comes, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. May you come and put your trust in our Savior tonight. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee. And we rejoice in thy mercy tonight. We thank thee, Lord, that we can be truly saved. We can have oil in our lamps. And we can be burning. But our God, we pray that each one of us may know that there is oil in our lamps. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts tonight and help us to follow thee for Jesus' sake. Amen.